This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program on Friday morning. And a reminder that later on today, I will be broadcasting from, well, I'll be doing some call-ins from Stevie's Wine and Spirits during the Howie Carr Show. So it's going to be happening from 4 to 6 p.m. I'll be hanging down there. We're going to be doing a special spooky tasting with some Halloween-themed cocktails and drinks for you to try. And then we will also have, I might be telling some ghost stories as well. Because, you know, I got a couple samples in me. I started talking and conversations inevitably going to lead to ghosts. But I might throw up some of the wonderful images of Frank C. Grace, Trig Photography, on the TV they have there and tell some ghost stories. It all depends on the crowd and what they're interested in. But I'll be there from 4 to 6. That's when they're having this tasting. So come on by and try something new. And it's always a great time when they have those tastings because you get to try different things, but also they always have a 10% discount on the items that they're offering the tasting for. So you get to save a little money as well. So it'll be really fun. Hope to see you there. Also, tomorrow night, Freetown Police Station Community Room, 6:30 p.m. I'll be at the state police station, not because I got arrested, but because I'll be talking about haunted objects. Then I might get arrested after that. But we'll have a nice little talk about haunted objects, cursed items, things that will make you think twice before you go to a yard sale or a flea market ever again. And if you have an item that you think is haunted or cursed, you can bring it along and I'll have a couple of pieces of equipment there that we can use to check it out and just see if we're getting any readings off of it. So hopefully you can come out one or both nights and get spooky with me. So in the last hour, we were talking about the announcement that TGI Fridays is closing in Dartmouth. Well, it's closed. It's already closed. They moved all the stuff out. They told our representative that was over there that they were moving all of those items to Manchester, New Hampshire. So I don't know if that's a existing TGI Fridays. I don't know if they're opening a new one. I can't imagine if they're filing for bankruptcy that they'd be opening a new location. But that's where they were bringing all of the stuff from the Dartmouth location. Now, what becomes of that paddock in the Dartmouth, what's that, Dartmouth Commons? That's still part of the Commons, right? They just extended that over across the street. So what is going to become of that paddock now? It's built to be a restaurant. Is there another restaurant that you think would move into it? You know, I see a lot of people commenting, good, I hope it's not another chain that moves over in there. I hope it's a mom and pop. It's probably not going to be a mom and pop because the rents at those in those kinds of locations are so high. That's why it's a chain that usually moves into those places, because not only because people who go to shop at national stores would be more likely to eat at national chain restaurants. People going to Target or people going to Dick's or whatever, they're the kind of folks that will probably want to eat in a TGI Fridays. I guess not enough. But not only that, but those national chains can subsidize the rent. So if the restaurant isn't making enough money and the chain wants to keep them there, it's not like they're responsible for paying their own rent. They can get that subsidized until things turn around. So there's going to be, if it's going to be anybody that moves in there, it's probably going to be another chain. Now, I've seen folks say they want a Golden Corral on the South Coast. I don't know how much space a Golden Corral needs. I've never been to one. I've seen other people mention a Longhorn Steakhouse as a possibility. Other comments suggested a Red Robin. I don't know how those chains are all doing. But if they're doing, good enough that they're looking to expand, well, you've got to think that Dartmouth would be an attractive location. But then you've also got to ask yourself, why didn't they come here before then? And the real issue isn't whether or not the economy supports it. Like, economies fluctuate. TGI Fridays as a chain has gone through worse economies than what we're in right now. In fact, you know, by all the statistics and measures, the economy isn't doing very poorly right now. I know it hasn't matriculated down into your own pocketbook yet, but there's been worse financial times while TGI Fridays was in operation. And corporations have what they call futurists that work for them. People who can, and I don't mean futurists like the kind of people that I deal with that say they can see into the future. I mean people that can follow trends and can tell you what you need to do. And that's not just futurists that deal with the economy, but, you know, hey, this is going to be the hot new item that everybody's going to want to have on their menus. Or this is going to be the next big thing. And you can get ahead of it and brand yourself for it. So they've got smart people in place to help them kind of weather the economic storm. But what they can't weather is if people just say, you know what, I don't like it. It's not that good. And that's what happens when restaurants try to cut corners. And cutting corners doesn't just have to be about the economy either. Cutting corners comes about when, you know, one CEO gets fired and another CEO comes in and wants to make themselves look good. And they say, we can save, you know, $10 million a year across the company by switching to these potatoes for our potato skins instead of these potatoes. And then people come in and say, these don't taste the same. They're not as good as they were. You know what? I don't think I'm going to get them next time. And then the next time becomes, well, I don't know if I'm going to go there because I really only went there because that's what I liked. So when you've got continuous drops in quality, and I think one of the previous callers, I forget if it was Sketty or the other call, but one of them said, you know, you take for granted that people are coming, and so you get lazy about it. And so I think that's probably the bigger issue. Basically, what I'm saying is TGI Fridays was probably going downhill well before the economy took a turn. And I think that the chain overall, like the chain restaurant idea, is kind of the concept of it. Not that chain specifically, but the idea of these chain restaurants is kind of, it's inherent that some places are going to open and not do as well. That's why you franchise these things out. Then it's somebody else's problem. So many of these chains are franchisees that own them, local people or local groups that get a national chain in, and they license it and they become part of that chain. But that's why they let them take the risk, because it doesn't mean anything to the chain if they have to pack up stakes and go. But I think what you're seeing too is you're seeing a move away from people that want to go out to restaurants like a TGI Fridays, like an Applebee's. I think 99 is a little different because it's a New England chain, not a national chain. But still, you go to the 99 over here most of the time, it's not that busy. Friday night, Saturday night, sure, it's packed. And you might have a little wait for a table. But for the most part, you could walk in and get a table anytime. It doesn't mean they're doing poorly. But it just means it's not like it was back in its heyday when, you know, it was always full. And I think that part of that is because people have just decided, I don't need to go out and have that restaurant experience anymore. Like, I don't know, people love Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm not really that impressed with it. I've had it a few times and I'm like, okay, and they're pretty basic wings. They're nothing different than I can get somewhere else. So if I feel like I really want buffalo wings, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings and get them, I guess, I'm going to say to myself, well, wait a minute, why don't I stop at Rose Alley or Sixes and Sevens or somewhere that has, you know, better quality wings and more unique wings. And, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings is good for when you're at the mall and you're hungry. It's good for when you're going to a movie and you want to get something to eat first. But it's not someplace that I would make a destination point. And I think that's kind of the way America as a whole is going. You know, we were obsessed with chain restaurants for a long time. That's why there were so many of them. But we've seen so many of them up and die too. Remember Bennigan's, right? What was that, burgers? People used to go there all the time. For a while, you know, the big sub place was Quiznos. Where's that? Where's that now? You know, it's the ebb and flow of just the nature of the chain restaurant. And by the way, I'm not crapping on chain restaurants. I think that they're perfectly fine. They are what they are. And I'm not one of those people that every time a chain announces that they're opening, I'm going to go on Facebook and comment, oh, great, another chain. Because I understand that that's just as important and vital to the local economy as a mom and pop. You know, and people say that all the time, like, you know, that space should go to a mom and pop because that would be better for the community. Actually, it wouldn't. Do you know who a mom and pop is better for? The mom and pop. But a mom and pop operation is never going to employ as many people as a chain will. So, yes, I want to see more mom and pop restaurants. Absolutely. But I also know that the likelihood of them sticking around is far less than that of the chain. So if I'm worried about the people that go there to work having their jobs 5 years later, a chain makes me a little bit less worried about that. Now, the restaurant business as a whole is always a crapshoot, but still, it's not the negative thing that people make it out to be. And by the way, those same people who say, you know, oh, that should be a mom and pop, go support the mom and pops then, because many of those have had to close up too. But this is, you know, just more of a sign of, I think, the heyday of those chain restaurants kind of being over. And you've got to reinvent yourself. You know, TGI Fridays have been TGI Fridays for, what, 30 years? I don't know how long it's been around, but it certainly feels like 30 years. Like, that was literally the restaurant they were mocking in Office Space. So if that's, you know, what was that, 97, 98, something like that? So, yeah, been around at least long. It's been around long enough to have already been in the public consciousness by that point. So it's been around a while. And how has it reinvented itself, you know? The familiar works for some places, but not when there's places that are familiar that are better quality. That's why I was a little bit surprised to see something from Dunkin's social media. Now, Dunkin has evolved, and Dunkin is something that is never, it's a brand that's never really been in danger around here of falling by the wayside. It's a strong brand here and nationally, but they've rebranded. They used to be Dunkin' Donuts, remember? Now they're just Dunkin'. Because they, you know, they wanted to focus more on having sandwiches and other items, and they were more than just donuts. And donuts are really kind of just a portion of what they do now. But they're pushing the spider donut. And as a result, I've noticed that their social media has got a little spicy. So they're pushing the spider donut, which is a fun idea, by the way. It's such a simple donut, but it makes for a cool Halloween trick. So you've basically got a frosted donut, and they take a munchkin and they put it in the middle. And then draw some spider legs on it and make it into a spider. It's pretty cool. I'm sure the kids will love them. But their marketing campaign on their social media, you know, it's kind of funny. They start off with like some close-up shots of the spider donut. And it says, if you aren't afraid of spiders, you're going to be. But then it gets a little spicy from there. Another picture of the spider donut where it says, your girl said I'm not so itsy bitsy. I was like, oh, okay. All right, Duncan. I see where you're going there. Then trying to find me a water spout for real. Oh, okay. But then you use the emoji there. And okay, I see what you're doing there. You know, you're towing the line, getting a little risque. But then the one that they posted yesterday, it's a little, I don't know if Duncan went too far. It's a picture of the spider donut and it says, I've got the long legs. All I need is the daddy, with multiple D's in the daddy. So I think that it's a little spicy for Duncan. But I give them credit for trying different things. All right. Well, I've got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, and you know, we're so excited about the start of the Celtics season. Started off 2-0, great performances in both of the first two games, and you might forget that the New England Patriots are playing and that they're in a rebuilding mode, but this week they've got a good chance because the 1-6 Patriots, while they're struggling, they're facing another team going through problems, their rival New York Jets, who are 2-5, and they're going to be at Gillette Stadium this Sunday. The first game after Coach Gerard Mayo called the Patriots soft. How will they respond? Find out Sunday. Patriots-Jets kickoff is at 1 p.m. with pregame on WBSM beginning at 10 a.m. We'll have the Patriots all season long right here on WBSM. Remember, if you want to hear our regular programming, you can hear that on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But if you want to hear the Patriots, you can hear them right here on 99.5 FM and 1420 AM WBSM all season long. You know who else you can hear on WBSM? Phil Devitt giving you the news, and he's got the latest updates for you right now.
The U.S. works with Israel on a missile attack response. The pressure is on for the presidential candidates, and the nation's oldest person dies at 115.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The United States is communicating with Israel while it prepares for an expected military response to Iran, so said Secretary of State Antony Blinken, speaking in Qatar after meetings in Israel earlier this week. He emphasized that it's not in anyone's interest to escalate. Donald Trump on the campaign trail in Arizona on Thursday. The former president spoke in the battleground state in the afternoon.
With your vote this November, we are going to fire Kamala Harris. We're going to fire her. Get the hell. We're going to fire Kamala. We're going to get her out of here.
Trump told the crowd America could face World War III if Kamala Harris is elected president. He told crowds he would end immigration and electric vehicle mandates on day one. Harris, meanwhile, hosted a star-studded rally in Georgia Thursday night.
It's either Donald Trump in there stewing over his enemies list, or me working for you, checking off my to-do list.
The vice president was preceded by Barack Obama, Bruce Springsteen, Samuel L. Jackson, and Tyler Perry, who all took the stage to endorse her campaign. The Menendez brothers may soon face a new sentence. The Los Angeles DA made the request that Eric and Lyle be resentenced, which would make them eligible for parole immediately. The brothers claim sexual and physical abuse from their father drove them to kill their parents at their Beverly Hills mansion in 1989. Elon Musk is being warned by the Justice Department that his $1 million giveaway for registered voters may be illegal. That's according to CNN, which cited people briefed on the matter. Musk announced over the weekend that his political action committee would award $1 million every day to a registered voter in swing states who signs a petition. Ozempic could lower Alzheimer's risk among those with type 2 diabetes. Brian Shook with more.
That's according to a new study using data from the CDC. Researchers at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine studied 3 years worth of records of almost 1 million type 2 diabetics. It found that those prescribed semaglutide, the main ingredient in Ozempic, had a 40% to 70% reduced risk of developing Alzheimer's compared to those who took other types of diabetes medications. I'm Brian Shook.
And the oldest person in the U.S. has died. Details from Mark Mayfield.
Elizabeth Francis of Houston, Texas, died Tuesday at the age of 115. The LongevaQuest database, which keeps track of the world's oldest people, says Francis was born in Louisiana during the Taft administration in 1909 and lived through two world wars and 20 U.S. presidents. She was living with her 96-year-old daughter when she died. Now, the title of oldest person in the U.S. is passed on to Naomi Whitehead of Greenville, Pennsylvania, who is 114 years old. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics beat the Washington Wizards last night, 122-102. Off to Detroit to play the Pistons on Saturday. Bruins lost to the Dallas Stars 5-2. They're home to play the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. And the New England Patriots host the New York Jets on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A sunny day here on the South Coast, set against a bright blue sky, a high of 62. On Saturday, some morning clouds and then afternoon sunshine, breezy and a high of 64. And on Sunday, mostly sunny and a high of 54. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. And of course, it can be the promise of a new day if you are battling breast cancer, because new and greater innovations have been made pretty much, you know, on a daily basis. They're making headway in the battle against breast cancer. But the number one way, the very best way to be able to fight breast cancer is through early detection. And because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, WBSM is teaming up with PrimaCare in an effort to prevent, identify, and cure a disease that strikes 1 in 8 women in the United States and does strike some men as well. A simple mammogram can be your best weapon in the fight against breast cancer, allowing for early detection and the best chance for successful treatment. Breast self-examination should begin at age 20, with yearly breast exams from 20 to 39 and yearly mammography screenings from age 40 on. Awareness, detection, treatment, cure, that's the key to beating this disease. Breast Cancer Awareness Month on WBSM is brought to you by PrimaCare, by your side. And it's vitally important that women in particular start following those recommendations and guidelines, and talk to your doctor about it, talk to your physician about it, and don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to have that conversation. As someone who has gone through cancer that was detected early, it saved me a lot of problems, saved me a lot of pain and sickness, and it probably saved me, well, probably saved my life, because I don't know that I, who knows how long it would have taken me to go to the doctor once I started to have the symptoms and how much it could have spread by then. So early detection is the biggest key. 508-996-0500, that's our number here. And you can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. It's going to be a weekend filled with fun Halloween activities, all kinds of spooky stuff going on. I hope that you get out there and get to enjoy some of it. And I know there's going to be some stuff that happens next weekend as well, but doesn't it just feel a little bit weird doing Halloween stuff after Halloween? It's funny because I was trying to put together some other paranormal things for this month. And the conversation came up, well, what about November? Do you have an easier schedule in November? I'm like, well, I do, but I never thought that people wanted to talk about these kind of things in November. I mean, I know that presentations that I do are popular any time of the year. And I don't mean because I do them. I mean the subject matter draws people out any time of the year. So, you know, libraries will want to book me in October, but then they'll say, oh, well, we've got October booked up, so, you know, we just want to get you on the schedule for next October. And I'm like, well, we can do that, but if you want to do it any other time of the year, we can. People will still turn out for it because they love the topic. So people like to get spooky year round. Maybe we should start having Halloween parties in, you know, April. My friend Jeff puts on his zombie prom every year in February.
And everybody loves getting dressed up and coming out for that. So, you know, you can get spooky year round, but there's something special about doing it, you know, between today and Halloween itself. And there's going to be a lot of stuff happening, including today's spooky tasting at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And I hope that you will all come out and take part in this. It's happening from 4 to 6 p.m. I'll be there calling in to the Howie Carr Show. We're going to be sampling some spooky spirits. And we're also going to be maybe telling some ghost stories, too. As I said, depends on the crowd. Depends on how people are. If they're like, no, shut up. I want to talk to the folks about these wonderful products that we are tasting. But I was looking at some of the cocktails that Stevie's was teasing on their Facebook page and Instagram page, including what looks like to be a combination of pumpkin pie, cream liqueur, and demon seed whiskey. Demon seed is amazing stuff. It's scorpion pepper and maple whiskey. It's not that spicy to me. But now we're going to be adding some pumpkin cream liqueur. That's pumpkin pie cream liqueur. That sounds like a match made in heaven. And then I'm looking at some sort of, it looks like some sort of mule here. Midori sour ginger beer. And it looks like a cinnamon apple whiskey. So those are just two of the things they'll have, as well as things like Harridan vodka. And they'll have the Paranormal Reserve bottles as well that you can purchase if you want to collect those. Also, Villain Cognac, Deacon Scotch Whiskey, Witch's Brew, I'm sorry, it's Cinnamon Candy Apple. So there's a whole bunch of stuff there that we're going to be sampling from 4 to 6 at Stevie's. And of course, you can also sample anything there that has the purple dot, so you can try it before you buy it. So if you're coming over and you're going to sample some of those items, I would also recommend, you know, maybe trying yourself some dark arts. My personal favorite. But they also have the Stevie's brand bourbon back in stock as well, finally. So come on by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. We'll be there from 4 to 6 p.m. But if you can't make it there, that's all right. Stop by anytime. And you'll appreciate the way that they go above and beyond for customer service. They get stuff that you won't find anywhere else. They'll get the stuff that you want them to find. 508-996-0500. That is my number here. I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few. That is the Amazing Crowns, formerly known as the Amazing Royal Crowns. But, and what's the story, if I remember off the top of my head, is people say that Royal Crown Cola told them they had to change their name because they had that song, Do the Devil. And that, so they're like, oh, we don't want to be associated with that. You need to change your name. People are confusing you with Royal Crown Cola. But I guess that wasn't true. I guess there was another band that was already called the Royal Crowns. So they had to change their name because it was in conflict with that. So many times bands have had to change their names because other bands could say, well, we've been using that name longer than them. I remember when Audioslave first came together, they were originally called Civilian. I got the demo of that off Napster or LimeWire or something before it had ever been released. I was floating around and they were called Civilian then, but they had to change their name because there was another band called Civilian. And that's, they ended up coming up with Audioslave. So, well, sometimes you get better names out of things. Sometimes you say, oh, why? Because originally Stone Temple Pilots, name that doesn't really make any sense. They were originally called Mighty Joe Young. Pearl Jam was Mookie Blaylock. Obviously, they couldn't go forward with that name if they were going to be as big as they became. since, you know, Mookie Blaylock already had that name. But yeah, things change, things get adapted, things get better with more creativity. And one of the things that is getting better with more creativity this year are the I voted stickers that you're going to get when you go to the polls on Election Day in New Bedford. So when you go now, if you go for early voting, they have the regular I voted stickers. But on November 5th, if you go on Election Day, you are going to get these custom designed New Bedford themed I voted stickers. And this is a great idea. And I know this is part of the Election Commission's office idea to try to increase and promote civic engagement. They went to all the schools in New Bedford and said, we're going to have this contest and we want kids to design these stickers. And they got more than 100 submissions and they selected 6 winners. So I don't know if this was Manny's idea directly or somebody in the office, but great idea, whoever's idea it was. And so these kids designed these stickers, 6 were chosen, and there'll be a different one in each ward. So whatever ward you vote in, you're going to have the sticker for that particular ward. So what you want to do then is you want to go vote in every ward so you can collect all 6, right? No, don't do that. That doesn't work. But I'm kidding. If Manny's listening, I don't want to be like, don't promote that. Don't make people think they can do that. No, I think I'm just kidding. I hope that people know that. But you can get a different sticker at each one, and it's going to be, they're all designed by school kids. So the winners, and you can read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But the winners were Amber Rosanina of New Bedford High School, Ayla Lynn Pimentel at Global Learning Charter School, Christina Bates at Roosevelt Middle School, Kevin Miranda DePina at Gomes Elementary School, and Yellow Guerra Rivas and Ella Levesque, or Levesque, both at St. Teresa of Calcutta School. So congratulations to them, and enjoy your stickers, voters, when you go out there and get them. I've got to take a break here. I see a caller's on hold. This break's probably going to take us right to the end of the hour, so you might want to wait and call back after the news. We'll be back in just a few moments. We are out of time for this hour. Caller, if you want to hang on, we can take you as soon as we come back after the news. But we're going to have to take a break for the news, ABC News, and then your local South Coast News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.